text out of the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 16, verses 6 through 8. Mark chapter 16, verses 6 through 8. As you find it, I would remind you it's time out for playing church. Somebody ought to say amen. It just don't make no sense to come to church, spend all this time here, and then leave the same way that you came. This may be your last time. If you know that things are not well between God and yourself, I don't know why in the world you would not make this day your day. You know you need to get yourself in church. If this church is not the church of your choice, we'll send you with a letter to whatever church you want to go. But you got enough sense to know you need to be in somebody's church today. It's dangerous to be on the outside of the ark of safety because you never know when it's going to rain in your life. And if you're not in, you're not certain will you be able to get in when the storm comes. But when you're already in, you don't have to worry about the storm because you're already in the ark of safety. Now, if you got enough sense to come to church, you ought to have enough sense to get in church while you still have the time. Now listen to this word from the Lord. It's in Mark chapter 16, verses 6 through 8 says, "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. I want to read the sixth verse again. It says, "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him." These two sermons today and next week, we pray, I want to entitle "Go and Tell It." Go and tell it. A key ideal in the book of Mark is Jesus' servanthood to the Father. And the more we understand Jesus' servanthood, I pray the more we understand we too ought to be servants of our great God. In this text, a young man of the gospel writers declared he was an angel, tried to get these women to go tell Jesus' disciples, including Peter, that Jesus has risen from the dead. Unfortunately for them, the Bible says they were so afraid that they went, but they didn't say anything. And church, I want you to know that God is still sending us with a word, but if we're not careful, fear will overcome our faith. But the more you know about how awesome Jesus really is, then the more faith you have and the less fear you have. And consequently, we are equipped to go and tell it. I have too much to say for one sermon, and so today I just want to get my bricks on the work site. We'll put them in order next week. Today I just want to suggest that we should remember that Jesus is more awesome than many understand. That's what I'm talking about today. We should remember that Jesus is more awesome than many understand. So first of all, I want to just outline quickly some understandings of Jesus. What is he talking about now? He's talking about understandings of Jesus. These women came to the tomb to anoint the carcass of our Christ. They came to put ointments and oils on the body of Jesus Christ. They did that because they did not understand who Jesus really was. If they had listened carefully to him, they would have heard him say, "I will die, but don't worry about it. In 3 days, I'll rise again." They came to show respect for the carcass of a martyr, one who had died for religious or spiritual convictions. Their understanding of Jesus was off. And you know, there are many people today who still don't understand Jesus. And there is quite a spectrum of misunderstandings. Perhaps at the far end are those who say Jesus is absolutely nothing but another ancient figure in history. He's a trickster from the past. He's no more or no less than the billions of others who have already bitten the dust. And then there are others who do better than that, but still miss the mark. They say that Jesus is a good man, but not a God man. He's good like Abraham, like Elijah, like Paul, like the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, like the Mormon prophet Joseph Smith. But Christians would quickly refute such ideals, for they make our Jesus too small. We would say that he is God. And he is awesome. We will say that with our mouths. But I am afraid with our lives, we demonstrate that we don't understand him either. I've shared with you a number of times, we are not what we say we are. We are what we do. You are not the sign on the tree. You are the fruit that comes from the tree. The women of our text are speechless. No words from the ladies. All that we know about them comes from what they do. And truth being told, we know more about you by watching your behavior than by listening to all of that yak. Can I help you? We would quickly say, God will take care of his own. Somebody will start getting misty. I know that's right, Reverend. He's been my doctor in my sick room. He's been my lawyer in my courtroom. He's been money to help me pay my bills. And we'll go round and around and around and shout ourselves into a frenzy about how God will make a way somehow. And yet, when the shadows of a problem come into our life, we panic. We don't even have to see the problem, just the shadow of the problem. We heard that they're going to cut some people in our department. Did nobody even call your name, but because you heard that there's going to be some cuts in the department, you're already in a state of panic. It's the doctor said, I want to run some tests. He hasn't even ran the test yet. You done ran the test in your mind, got the results in your mind, and in your mind you already half dead. The shadow of the problem has sent you into panic mode in spite of all of this church yap about how the Lord will make a way somehow. We behave like we don't understand him either. When it comes down to giving, we don't give like we understand that the more we give, the more we shall receive. We don't worship like he is worthy of the praise. We come up in here as if we are simply applauding the performances of one another. So when the choir sang something I like, we cheer. And when we don't sing, when they don't sing something we like, we sit there like a bump on the log. Some of y'all must apparently never like what they sang, because no matter what they sang, your posture is unmoved. Every now and then I want to walk out there and just touch you and see, is this a mannequin? Or is this a real live person here? I just don't understand how you can hear such singing and hear such content and be in the presence of so much positive energy and you are unmoved. You are not behaving like people who understand that we ought to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. We don't act like we are people who understand, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We don't always behave like we understand that whatever we do in the worship experience ought to be for the strengthening, the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ. No matter what we say, we do not always behave like we understand that the greatest measure and the greatest sign of our Christianity is our ability to love one another. It does not matter how dressed up you are. You can put pretty clothes on a dirty heart. Doesn't matter how many times you come. The devil come to church more than all of us. It is, do we love one another? And I thought I would put this in your spirit, because from where I sit as the watchman on this wall for this season, it seems as if we are too close to those goats in Matthew 25 than we are to the sheep. Can I bring your attention back to Matthew 25, 31 through 46? The goats on the left side of Jesus, their sin was not harm, it was lack of help. It was not wickedness, it was apathy. It was not their doing bad, it was their failure to do good. That's what got the goats in trouble with Jesus. And I thought I would lift this because most of us came here looking for the blessings of the sheep. But you can't get the blessings of the sheep living like the goats. Come on now, that ain't nothing all that hard about that. How you gonna live like a goat and then be over here in the sheep blessing line? If you live like a goat, then you get treated like a goat. If you wanna be blessed like a sheep, then you gotta live like a sheep. That is, you must learn how to respond to human need. It's more to life than I did not cause harm. It's more to life that I don't bother anybody. It's more to life that I don't mess with anybody. I don't get in anybody's business. That's not good. You are the light of the world. Whenever you don't shine, you are sinning. And so, if the only thing you do in church is come and watch me preach and listen to the choir sing, I'm talking to you right now. Your understanding of Jesus should move you to want to serve him. I'm changing lanes. Y'all with me? Talking about the awesomeness of Jesus now. I told you that there are understandings of Jesus that span the spectrum from almost pejorative, almost a negative. I mean, when you say Jesus is nothing, I'm insulted. All the way up to this crowd that says the right thing but lives the wrong way. The spectrum of understanding of Jesus is broad. But here I lift for us now this understanding that Jesus is awesome. Somebody say awesome. The young man of the text, angel if you like, says you came here looking for Jesus the Nazarene. Nazareth was a ghetto. You came here looking for Jesus from the ghetto. That's what you came looking for. But I want to tell you that he was crucified and he has been resurrected, or he has risen. That is, he died and he rose. These two things make Jesus awesome. Can I show you? First of all, he died. He died. He died. He died. He died. Come on, let's go back to Calvary for a minute. He died. You remember. They beat him all night long. They beat him. They spit on him. They slapped my Lord. Then they made him carry his own cross uphill to Golgotha, the place of the skull. The norm would have been to tie the person to the cross. But they were so hateful to Jesus that they nailed him to the cross. I know it's not true, but it sounds as if I can almost hear those hammers ringing. They nailed his hands. They nailed his feet. I cannot even imagine that pain. But then they lifted the cross up and dropped it in a hole. And all of his weight is hanging on these spikes in his hands and in his feet. To pull himself up would be to pull on nails in his hand. To let his weight drop would be to put pressure on the spikes in his feet. While he hung there naked between heaven and earth and before a mocking crowd, hateful men brought a spear and speared him in his side. It was so bloody. The blood on the ground, we could not tell. Did it come from the mocking thorns that was on his tender brow? Did the blood come from the rivers of blood that came from his back? Or is this blood the blood that comes from his hands or from his feet or from his side? It's a bloody mess at Calvary. But it's an awesome death. It's awesome because he could have snapped a finger. He could have blinked an eye. He could have thought a thought. And 10,000 thousand angels would have been by his side, rescued him, put Pilate and others in check. But he obeyed God and loved us so much that he died for us. And he says strange things on Calvary. He says stuff that would have never came out of my mouth. He embarrasses me with the composure that he has on Calvary. Listen to what he says. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I would have been so bitter. But he died without bitterness. And that's awesome. I said, that's awesome. I said, that's awesome. Listen, there are people in your life, I got many in my life, that will promise you the world. I got your back. I'm with you. I'm your friend. You can count on me. You can trust me. And they have already left you. But Jesus loved us so much that even when he foresaw what was going to happen, he did not throw in the towel, but he loved us so much that he stayed there for you and for me. Man, that's awesome. That's awesome. And if that's not enough, it was also a necessary death. You see, all of us had sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. And the problem is, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission, no washing away of sin. And so then, I want you to get this now. Calvary, his death, the death of Jesus, is not just altruism. It is not just self-sacrifice. It is a substitutionary payment for your sin and for mine. It's awesome, because what could wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Come, go with me now. Only God can take red blood and make us whiter than the snow. He's an awesome Christ, because he died for us and paid for all of our sin. Now y'all sitting up in here acting like you only got two or three sins that he had to pay for. Come on, let's go back over this again. He paid for all of our sins. So I want you to think about all that mess you did in your 20s and your 30s and your 40s and your 50s. All of that is under the blood. And then think about all the mess you're doing right now with your churchified self. All of that is under the blood. And then think about all that mess you got in your planner of what you gonna do, what you wanna do, what you trying to work out in doing. And all of that is under the blood. Ain't no way in the world you can understand that and just sit there when I'm talking about the awesomeness of his death. But that's not the only thing that make him awesome. That's enough. But my God, not only was he crucified, but he has risen. I said he has risen. It's already done. Ain't nothing you can do about it. It's over with and done. It's in the books. He's up. He's on the right side of the Father. Now, this is not just a magic trick. What's so exciting about the resurrection is that it confirms everything else Jesus had said. Let me put it like this. If he had not risen, I would be left to wonder, are his promises for sure? When he said that you don't have to be troubled, you believe in God, believes also in me, in my Father's house are many mansions. I would be wondering, does he really have a room for me if he's still in the tomb? If he was still in the tomb, I would have unanswered questions about, is there really life on the other side of death? Will good really overcome evil. I would have so many unanswered questions, but when I look into the empty tomb, when I understand that he has risen from the dead, I have some hope. And I've seen this hope do strange things. This hope will make believers walk down the aisle, look in the casket at the carcass of their loved ones, and walk away smiling, because they realize to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The resurrection, it'll give you some peace of mind as death comes creeping in your room. The resurrection, it helps you see that life is worth living, and then there's a whole nother life on the other side of what we call death. Thank God for the resurrection. But the resurrection happens on Sunday morning. You got to get through Friday to get to Sunday. You can't jump from Thursday over to Sunday. You got to go through Friday. When I think about his being risen on Sunday, it helps me understand that no matter how bad my Friday may be, if I can just keep the faith, Sunday is on the way. Friday don't last always. It might cause me to bleed. It might cause great heartache. Family members can break your heart, can't they? Can't nobody hurt you like somebody you love close. People are walking up and down Reading Road right now. Whatever they say about you is just water off a duck's back. You don't know them and they don't know you. Who cares what they say? But the people you love, people you've invested in, people you've made a sacrifice for, people you have gone without so that they can have, when that crowd hurts you, it can make you wonder what makes life worth living. I tell you what makes life worth living. He rose from the dead. He has a marvelous plan for your life. And if you can hold on and make it through Friday, there's an early Sunday morning. I got to keep moving. I got to keep moving. But this, listen, this awesome Jesus and his resurrection can give you hope. And it can give you energy to run on and see what the end is going to be. I'm closing right here when I tell you, check it out. What did he say? Check it out. What are you talking about? He said, check it out. Is that the point? That's the point. Check it out. Yes, right here. The angel said, ladies, I have told you about Jesus. You came looking for the Nazarene, but he's been crucified and has risen. But in case you don't believe me, stoop down, look in this tomb, and see for yourself. Check it out. Come on in here and see if you can find any evidence of your Jesus. And you know there's somebody here who cannot hear the preached word of God. You got to check it out for yourself. There's somebody who cannot get their mind around Jesus paid it all. And so you are checking out alternatives. Some are trying to be holy enough to get into heaven. So I got to go to church every Sunday. Because at judgment, I want to be able to show God my time card and show him how many hours I've clocked into church. And somehow my time in church is going to counterweigh all of the sin in my life. Others are trying to dress their way into the kingdom. Lord, look at my fine Sunday go to meeting clothes. You got to let me in. And others are trying to bribe God with his own money, trying to give God back enough of his own money to say, Lord, you got to let me in. Look at my financial statement. Others think they have enough title attached to the front or the back of their name to get into the kingdom. But when you get finished checking out the things of this world, you remember the preacher told you, nothing but the awesome death and blood of Jesus is sufficient to pay for our sins. When you get finished playing games, you will discover that Jesus is the way, is the truth, is the life, and no man can get to the Father lest they come through the Son. Now listen, I know about an inquisitive mind, but there's a danger in always being in a state of inquiry because you are eating up time, and time does not go backwards. There's no about face, there's no counter march, you can't turn around. The train of time has no reverse. So if you waste your 20s and 30s checking it out, no matter what you learn in your 40s, you won't get a chance to go back and relive your 20s and 30s. If you waste your 40s and 50s checking it out, but then come to your realization in your 60s, you won't have enough time to go back and relive the 40s and 50s. And so check it out, but hurry up, because the clock is ticking. And then there are others who perhaps look for purpose in life and hope after life. Purpose in life and hope after life. Somebody's checking this out, trying to figure out what is my purpose in life. And you know, there are some who think my purpose is to make all of the money I can. If I can just make all of the money, then I'll be happy. The only person who think money will make you happy are those who don't have any money. Those who have money understand money don't make you happy. Money don't make you happy. Now, money will help you buy some nice clothes to put on your unhappy back. Money will help you buy some expensive food to feed your unhappy self. Money will help you buy a beautiful home for your unhappy inhabitation. Money will help you buy a beautiful car to drive your unhappy self around in. Money will help you buy a beautiful vacation to take your unhappy self to, but money will not make you happy. But there are those who got to check it out for themselves. There are others who think that the reason for living is for my family, my wife, my husband, my children, my family. And you ought to love your family. Brethren, you ought to love your wife as Christ loved the church. I don't know where in the world I'd be at if it wasn't for my wife. Love your wife. Love your wife. Sisters, love your husband. That's good stuff. Do that. But you are in love with a sinner. You are in love with a sinner. I don't care how much you love Poopsie. Poopsie is a sinner. I don't care, that's my daddy. Daddy is a sinner. I don't care how much you love your little children. Your little children and your big children, both of them are sinners. And you will soon discover that when I desire to do good, evil is always present. Listen, all of us are walking around with a t-shirt on right now. Everybody got on the t-shirt right now. And on the front and on the back, it says temporary. Everybody walking around with a t-shirt on right now, and it says temporary. It got temporary on the front, and it got temporary on the back. What it means is everybody in your life either going to die on you or you going to die on them. This whole world is passing us by. So you can't put your hope in sinful people, but some of y'all got to check it out for yourself. And then there are others who are crazy enough to put their hopes in themselves. It is a hedonistic ethic. It is a thing that says, if it feels good to me, then it must be good. Their whole life is about finding out what makes them feel good. And if you're not careful, you will discover, as Solomon had to discover, that we build up tolerance to pleasure. The things that make you happy and feel so good today, keep on having it just like that, and you find it takes a little bit more on tomorrow. That's what the preacher was saying. He said, vanity of vanity, all is vanity. But some of y'all got to go check it out for yourself. But you remember, the preacher told you on today that can't nobody do you like the Lord. You remember that. Take that with you. That I don't care how much money you make, if you're broke with Jesus, you're richer than the millionaire without Jesus. I don't care about you being single. If you're single with Jesus, you got more companionship in your life than the person who's married, five children, an extended family, but no Holy Ghost in their life. Can't nobody do you like the Lord. And whatever you gather down here, you can't take it past the grave. What makes Jesus so awesome is that he's a pre and post death situation. What makes Jesus so awesome is he doesn't leave us at the graveyard. You can't drive your Lexus in heaven or hell. Somebody ought to help me here. You can't take your credit cards with you past the grave. I was at a service before, and this guy who we were eulogizing used to love Lincoln Town Cars. And so for all of his recent memory, this guy always drove town cars, one town car after another. And that was so much the case that they took a picture of him with his car and put the picture in the casket and had some keys to a Lincoln Town Car on his finger in the casket. It wasn't the right time for me to tell them, but I wanted to tell them, do you know he can't drive that car past the grave? Listen, can't nobody do you like the Lord. Now, it is homiletically, it is not the way you build a sermon to tell folk, I want to talk about, go and tell it. And then spend 30 to 40 minutes talking about some of everything except going or telling it. That's absolutely the wrong way to build a sermon. Don't build no, Crawley, don't build no sermon like that. You're gonna flunk every time. But I told you this was part one of the sermon. And the reason I had to spend so much time on part one is because you gonna flunk part two like these women if you don't pass part one. See, the women were too afraid to go and tell it because they did not understand the awesomeness of Jesus. And if you're not careful, you'll just run on to the second part of the sermon, be running around here jumping and shouting, woo, go tell it, go tell it on the mountain, go tell it on the mountain, be all happy. But we'll not have the inside stuff to get it done. If you don't understand who Jesus is, fear will overcome your faith and you will be as silent as the ladies in our text. My prayer to God is that as you go down from this sacred place, that you would understand that Jesus is awesome. Preacher may not be all of that. Deacons may not be all of that. The church may not be all of that. It's not hard to find fault with the church. But Jesus, that's something altogether different. Jesus is awesome. When you think about how he died, paid for all of our sins while we were yet sinners, and then rose from the dead and sits on the right side of the Father and mediates for you and for me, there's no other word than awesome about our Lord. But you know, there are some people who can hear the preacher and leave here saying, yeah, he's awesome. He's awesome in my life. But there's always somebody in the crowd. They got to stoop down, look in the tomb, and check it out for themselves. And if you are that person, they got to check it out. You remember the preacher told you, you better hurry up because the train has no reverse. You spend the next 5-10 years of your life, what you doing? I'm checking it out. I'm seeing. Okay. The problem is that's 5 to 10 years that you could have been working on your crown that you've just wasted. It's up to you. I mean, you grown now. Ain't nobody gonna make you do anything. So if you want to waste your 30s, if you want to waste your 40s, popping in, popping out of church, playing church, you're a Christian in front of us, a sinner in front of them. If you want to waste time, it's on you. But I promise you, judgment is coming. And that judgment, the Lord is going to look past our mask and see the real us. And you won't be able to say, well, Reverend, Lord, I didn't know. I didn't know. Lord going to say, did you remember what Bain said? He told you Jesus is awesome. And the way you demonstrate you really got the sermon is not by what you say, but by what you do. Go and tell it. God bless you. Would you stand? The invitation is extended. If things are not well between God and yourself, today is a marvelous day to come and get right with God. There's no way in the world I'll be sitting in church all this time and leave the same way that I came. If you know that you need the Lord in your life, if you know you need to get yourself in church, if you know you need to get closer to this awesome Jesus that we've talked about here today, the invitation is extended. The door is open. My brother.